There we go. That way we don't get halfway through this and I don't realize that I'm not recording. We went through a lot of material so far. I'm going to recap on some of that stuff. And what I'd really like to do, and usually on the third call in the month, I do this. Let me just make sure it is the third call of the month. We had three calls this month. There's one there.
It's the second seduction
call. The second seduction call. Okay, never mind. So the second call this month so far. So we have another call. Looks like next week as well. Next week. So usually on the third call, actually, we go over a lot of Q&A. So what I'll do is I'll take questions while we're going through this. If you are listening on the phone, then you can press *2 to raise your hand at any given moment about seduction. And then if you're online, you should see a little box, which is usually on the left-hand side of the page. And you can fill that out. I already got a question here waiting for us to answer. You can fill that out at any point during this process and we'll be able to get that question and answer it, no problem. So first, I'm going to talk a little bit about just kind of reviewing what seduction is and some of the things we talked about before. We went into a lot of material in the last founding members call, and a lot of guys had a lot of questions for me during that call, and it was really great. And even after the call, I got a lot of emails with questions about stuff that was in the call. So I kind of compiled everything that we went over, and I'm able to sort of go through it now and make sure that we cover everything again. But if you do come up with anything new, any new questions or anything, I'm excited to hear those questions, and I'd like to answer them for you. So the first thing I want to kind of go over is sort of the basic idea of seduction. I want to kind of go over what it is and when it occurs. First, I want to sort of separate the idea of seduction from sexuality. Being sexual can happen immediately, but seduction is later on in interaction. And by later on, I mean after attraction and rapport have already happened. Now, are there times in which you can skip rapport and go straight to seduction? Yes. Are there times in which you can skip attraction and go straight to seduction? No. There are no times you can do that. You can, however, demonstrate high value at a distance and introduce yourself at a distance, basically by showing dominant and attractive body language sort of across the room, and then skip over qualifying and go straight to seduction from then on out. But that takes a lot of like pretty advanced knowledge or advanced information and understanding of sort of seeing the matrix and knowing who you can do this with and who you can't and when you can do it and when you can't. I want to go over another topic. Let me just make a little note here to do this. There we go. Called buying temperature a little bit later on. And I'll go over that. And that's kind of how you skip steps, is if you can recognize different buying temperature from different girls at any given moment, then you can skip over the stage of rapport, skip over sometimes later stages of attraction. Like I said, you can skip over qualifying and go straight into seduction and make out within 45 seconds of meeting a girl or even sooner than that. I know that may sound kind of nuts, but I'm going to go over a little bit about how to recognize and do that today and tonight and this evening, depending on where you live, in this founding members call. So first, again, we know what seduction isn't. It isn't just sexuality, but what is it is the question. Well, whenever we become emotional about anything, we immediately have what's called a heightened of our emotional brain. And that means that our emotional brain gets a lot of resources. It gets a lot of energy and activity that happens. But your brain sort of shares resources on each hemisphere. You'll have one half is your logical brain, and the other half that is your emotional brain. And when your emotional brain is eating up the resources and eating up all the sort of electricity that's in your brain, essentially, then your logical brain does not have... did I say emotional brain first? Sorry, I forgot. When your emotional brain is eating up all those resources, let me just start over. When your emotional brain is eating up all those resources, your logical brain doesn't have any. So your logical and your emotional brain do not work together. They work sort of opposing, fighting for the same resources. And one ends up winning, and then the other one ends up being pretty much dead during that process. And you can sort of experience this a little bit if you try to make a decision while you are emotional. So a lot of people who experience what's called emotional buying or have what's called buyer's remorse, they buy something when they're emotional because the salesperson or somebody will sort of convince them to be emotional and get them hyped up about it. And then they'll buy it, and then immediately after that, their logical brain starts to sort of build up again, and they realize they didn't want this thing, and they don't need this thing, and it's not a good thing for them, and it was overpriced, and all sorts of bad stuff. And they immediately feel remorse for what they just bought. Now, this does happen with women hooking up with guys, too. They will get what's called buyer's remorse as well, where they'll hook up with a guy, and then they'll feel like crap for hooking up with him. And it's for the exact same reason that we feel like crap for buying something stupid, because they were emotional, purely emotional when they made the decision. And if you don't lead them down the path of sort of helping them accept the process and accept everything logically as well as you go through the seduction process, and you don't take care of the sort of the rapport ahead of time, you can get a lot of buyer's remorse and also a lot of resistance later on. And they create what are called red zone responses. We'll get into red zone responses in a bit. But first, I want to just note that seduction is a state in which your emotional brain is heightened, your logical brain is sort of weakened or almost like dead, you know, kind of quiet, and then and your emotional brain is heightened with the painted with the frame of sexuality and sexual escalation. Now, there are lots of ways to do this. There are lots of ways to escalate, lots of ways to build up sexual attraction, and lots of ways to show dominant sexual energy. But you have to do a certain specific group of things, and if you don't do it, then you will ruin the interaction. Tonight, I'm going to go over something called VET. VET is a sort of four areas of your interaction that if you change these four areas in the way that I'm going to teach you, then you will automatically go into seduction. You have to change four different things about your body language and about just about your personality that shifts from sort of having a deep emotional, you know, rapport-based conversation and takes you into having a sexual, seductive, escalating conversation. I hope that makes sense so far. Is this making sense, Brad?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Brad's going to speak for all of you right now, just for the moment. Again, if you do have any questions at all, if you're on the line, press star 2. And if you are listening online, so if you're on the phone, press star 2. If you're listening online, then go ahead and drop a question right there into the Q&A box on the left-hand side of the screen, and I will get through that. So I'm going to go ahead and answer one question from Igor/Igor. I'm not sure how to say your name, though we've communicated 100 times already. So the question is, do we actually need to make out before entering the seduction stage, or do we start sort of the make out on the seduction stage? So the answer to this question is kind of twofold here. The first thing is that you can make out whenever you want to with a girl. Let's say if you want to make out during the attraction phase, you can go for it then, but she's probably going to pull away most likely. But keep in mind that making out with a girl is, for a girl, making out is not a big deal. There's a reason why sort of what's called the lesbian handshake is moving in together. Women have a completely different concept of commitment than men do. And a woman making out with a guy in a bar when she's been drinking is not going to be considered a commitment to her, especially if you haven't built any rapport or anything. So if you do make out early on, you can do a couple things. If you don't watch out, you can ruin the interaction because you'll start to get sexual, and then you won't want to go back to rapport. And that will sort of make her automatically feel like she doesn't know you, and that she will very likely she won't try to hook up with you later on. And if you wait too long to make out, then of course you won't get physically sexual or escalate physically at all in time to actually increase that sexuality, increase that seduction to the point where you actually get to have sex or do anything else. So what you want to do is you want to start sort of the makeout process at the proper time. The proper time, that's sort of what you're asking here, is to go for the kiss during the later stages of deep rapport, meaning right toward the very end of deep rapport, you sort of shift into the stage of seduction. It should feel seamless. It should feel like you're still in the stage of rapport and you're still kind of having this, deep and meaningful conversation, but you're doing it in a new kind of way now that that automatically sort of brings up all these sexual feelings and sexual ideas inside the girl that you're talking to. Now, again, I'm going to go over the vet system for this. It'll sort of tell you what you need to shift. But during that, you know, while you're actually during that, going through that process of rapport, you have to know that it needs to be sort of a seamless flow. It should feel just like you're still in rapport, except now all of a sudden it's sexual. And it shouldn't be something that is noticeable. If she notices that you're shifting into sort of sexual mode, then you're doing it wrong. And the reason why that's a bad thing is because if she notices, she's going to snap out of her emotional state and then sort of fall into her logical state. And you don't want that to happen, because whenever she falls into her logical state, she can't be seduced. You cannot seduce a woman with logic. You can seduce or get a man turned on with logic. Like you can say, for example, if I go home with you tonight, I'm going to have sex with you. That's logical, right? But that's not seduction to a woman. And to a guy, would be like, let's go home, man. You know, let's go do this. What are we waiting for? Let's go right now. Like, I already called a cab while you were talking, you know? And that gets us sort of turned on. But for women, they need that sort of seamless flow from one stage to another. I'm going to go ahead and unmute Brett here. Brett's got a question pertaining to the information, so I'm going to go ahead and unmute you. Brett, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Cool, man. What's going on?
Well, I had a question about, you were talking about a logical brain and emotional brain. Do you have any specific questions to balance between the two to heighten the emotional brain but not go too far and be able to gauge it at the same time?
To have her emotional brain heightened but not to the point where she's like crying or something?
Well, that or until if you hit a red zone and she bounces into back into her logical state of mind.
So sort of this balance, Brett, is kind of like it's definitely a balancing act, so you're definitely right about that. It's sort of like in your favor in this instance, because whenever you're seducing a woman and you're taking her through this process of seduction, because you control the amount of trust that she feels for you. So as she builds this trust with you during the stage of rapport, you're sort of lowering her red zone response, but you're also, because you're having emotional conversation, you're also heightening her emotional brain. Now, because you're doing that in rapport, you're not doing it with the sort of filter of sex or sexual, having a sexual nature. Instead, you're doing it through the filter of sort of being a friend during that process, sort of getting to know her a little bit better and having her open up. So during the stage of rapport, there shouldn't be any kind of seductive undertones until, I'd say, if you had to think about going through this rapport process, I would go through it maybe twice or possibly three times, depending on which girl it is. And you know that there are four avatars, so you know, and certain girls you have to go through a little bit more rapport. So whenever you go through maybe twice, I'd say, is pretty good. Sometimes even once is great for a girl. If you had to measure the amount of time that you were doing this, if you were actually building rapport and you're not just sort of shooting the shit and saying nothing important, if you're actually building rapport, maybe 5-10 minutes of it is plenty. I mean, you can go through the whole process in 5 minutes really fast. You know, and she may want to do more. She may want to talk to you longer. I would say that once you get past about 45 minutes of building rapport, if you haven't gone into seduction, you're falling into the friend zone again. Unless you're still heightening the physical touch and everything, which I'll get into in a bit. But if you haven't gone in by that point, you're sort of teetering on the edge of friend zone land. But if you go in less than 5 minutes, or you don't actually build rapport while you're sort of talking to her, you're just kind of having a light rapport conversation, you don't go into deep emotional connection and deep rapport, that's sort of outlined in the Tao of Badass, then whenever you get to, you know, you go in to sort of become sexual with her, you will have that red zone response, and she will sort of have a kickback and want to go logical all of a sudden. So to sort of answer your question, the things that you want to say are basically normal normal rapport conversations, like what you like to eat, what you, you know, where you grew up. I would actually go less on what when you're a kid, because you don't want her to think about you when you're a kid as much. Whenever you start getting into the later stages, when you start getting into seduction, but during the during that process, you can start to call out, do what's called a statement of what's so. A statement of what's so is whenever you call out what's happening as it's happening. I'm just going to write this down so I remember to bring it up later. A statement of what so is, for example, you can say, do you know that you're blushing right now? Like, that's a statement of what so. Now, during the stage of seduction or deep rapport, that will switch her over to being sort of conscious of herself, but not logical. That sort of makes her feel like you're in control. Anything you can do to call out body language, like, when you smile, I can't help but smile too. Like, really, stuff that she can't help doing. That plus, when you're in sort of that stage, it's really mostly about, especially going for like making out with a girl, it's going to be a lot about where you're touching and your triangulation during that time. So if you can triangulate during the later stages of rapport and have her hand, like be holding her hand. Again, I used to do this where I would put my hand up and I wish I could show you guys this. Put my hand up almost like I'm going to give a high five, but I'll keep my elbow on the table if she's like sitting near me. And instead of showing my hand to her palm forward, I kind of face my fingers toward her a little bit with my fingers spread apart a little bit. And during deep rapport, you'll have a girl, she'll automatically want to reach up and lock her fingers with yours because that's naturally what'll happen. So you can also put your hand out like like you're going to take her hand, you know, like as if you're going to spin her, but it's assuming that you're sitting down. And when she gives you her hand, pull your hand back and then spin it around so you can hold her hand and interlock your fingers. Now, this is the kind of touch that you need to be doing while you're having conversation, while you're having building rapport, you know, during that process. If you go over this sort of touch escalation, then there won't be any sort of snapping out of this process because it'll feel natural, it'll feel right, you know, and that's really what you want to experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I was just wondering, before you do hit that red zone, what kind of signs can you pick up on so you can prevent from her having issues?
You see, before she hits that red zone, she'll start to lean back instead of leaning forward. This is the first sign. So if she like leans back in her seat all of a sudden, especially if she sits up straight in her seat all of a sudden, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
That usually means that she's starting to get logical, especially if she leans up in her seat and she starts to look away. Now, so sitting up straight or leaning back in her chair, unless you're correcting her posture, of course, like during rapport, you can correct her posture, like put your hand on her low back and help her sit up straight for a second. It's a really powerful thing to do. And then go, you look so much sexier now, you know, that'll help. Then she's sitting up straight. It's not a big deal. But if she's leaning back all of a sudden, or if she starts to block herself off. So I'll give you three things right now. Leaning back is big. Blocking yourself off, meaning taking her hands and some, for whatever reason, like taking her hands, holding something like a drink or a phone or anything, and or just holding her own hands and then leaning back and putting something in front of her chest. When she puts something in front of her chest, that's a bad sign. When she leans back, it's a bad sign. And when she starts to look around the room, it's a bad sign. When she breaks concentration with you, you're about to run into a red zone response. And usually what will happen is whenever you are seeing these things pop up where you start to see these red zone responses, you actually have a good, you know, 5 minutes of conversation to correct all this, to be able to say, oh, crap, I'm heading on that path. I got to fix this now. But the way that you do it is you're going to have to snap out of it and then go somewhere else or go to the bathroom or let her go to the bathroom. Or usually you don't want to go apart from her or anywhere, but you want to lead her from one place to another. Maybe go to a different place, like a different bar, if it's at a bar, or, you know, to a coffee shop. I don't know, wherever you are. If you're at her house, you want to, like, phone just fell off. You want to, you know, turn the lights up a little bit or something, make it less romantic, and sort of zoom out a little bit, then start to sink back into rapport again and build rapport again. But you need to sort of back out for a minute and then go back in slowly. Anytime you start to see the signs that she's backing out like that. The big one that I found is probably one of the biggest indicators is if she starts to break eye contact. Usually these will all happen at the same time. You'll see her start to play with her hands a little bit, but do it right in front of her chest, like she's holding her own hands and sort of messing around with her hands a little bit right in front of her chest. She will lean back and just look away a couple times, not down or up, but left or right, you know, especially if you're sitting across from her. She'll start to sort of get distracted by the things around her. that means she's snapped out of it. She's not in that emotional state anymore. It could mean that she's already hit a red zone response, or it could mean that she's just about to. If either way, you're going to have to sort of back out a little bit. You want to lean back too. You don't want to chase her, because at this point she's starting to zoom out, back out a little bit. You don't want to chase her in. Instead, you want to sort of model her body language for a little bit. I just got the longest question ever from Philip. You don't want to chase her though in that moment, because if you do, you're going to scare her away. Because most women, whenever they start to get in a deep rapport like that, and they see that red zone response and they start to lean back, it's because they feel trapped all of a sudden. There are only certain kinds of women that will do this. Some women will actually be very, very excited about it, and they'll keep continuing forward. But if you start to see that she's leaning back and she's giving these signs that you're getting a red zone response, then you need to back out a little bit and then go through the rapport process a couple more times before you continue escalating. Like I said, whenever she sort of sits back like that, it doesn't mean no. It just means it just means not yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. One thing that's come to my mind is banter. Would you stay away from that, or would you start bantering a little bit?
Do a lot of all of a sudden pulling out body language where she's like leaning back, like I said, and it's a whole lot of it. Like maybe even see her furrow her brow, like drop her eyebrows down a little bit, like she's a little bit confused or upset about something. Then you may want to completely reset the interaction, as in go, you know what, let's get up for a minute and let's go outside and get some fresh air. And then when you get outside, snap into a little bit of banter and go through that process again, because that means that she's about to snap all the way back and start from sort of square one with you. It's at your discretion though. You know, if you can't really tell with the woman, because each woman is different. You can if you know her type, Brett, since you know the four avatars. You can actually tell if she's an options girl. Now, anyone else who's listening to this is probably not going to know what I'm talking about, but basically there are four different types of women, and if you ask a couple of questions, you can figure out what quadrant she's in. And this is called the four avatars. And when you figure out what avatar she is, you can talk to her in a certain way, and it will automatically attract her. So if she's sort of... I'll go ahead and say the four types. There's the explorer, the romantic, the princess, and the supporter. And if she is the princess or the supporter, you're going to be able to go into rapport a lot deeper, and she won't back out so much. Like whenever she won't get freaked out by going deep rapport with you, you know. But the explorer and the romantic will. They'll freak out because they're going into rapport too fast. It's all happening so fast; it seems unreal, you know. And they'll start to doubt whether or not it's real, and they need to feel suffocated, and they'll feel like they're being blocked in. So it really depends on the girl. But if you want sort of a blanket rule, if you're starting to screw it up and you see it happening, reset all the way back to square one. Reset all the way back to banter. But only if you know it's about to get screwed up big time. Like if you see it, like you're like, oh shit, I'm losing this completely. This is falling apart. You have nothing to lose by going back to banter then, you know? And the way you want to do that is you want to physically change locations from sitting down or being really close and everything to get back into that like sort of social environment and that banter environment and reintegrate with the group and then escalate again and do everything all over again from scratch and get her alone again later on. And you can do it that way. So, but if you don't have to, you don't want to go back to banter. You want to go back to light rapport instead. If you see her start to lean back though, you immediately want to lean back yourself, you know? Another test you can do, Brett, to see if she's really engaged is lean back in your chair for a minute. Just like, you know, lean back and pull your shirt down a little bit. Just like adjust. It seems like you're just adjusting yourself in your seat. And as soon as you, and then lean back forward again. If she's leaning forward and you lean back to adjust your shirt or something, just whatever it is, or like, you know, feel your phone in your pocket or whatever while you're talking, and then you lean back forward again. If while you're leaning back, she leans back too, she's not deep enough. You want her to stay leaning in as you lean back. That's really, really important. You also want, you know, you want to be able to keep and hold that eye contact. So even as you're like adjusting yourself, you're still looking at her in the eyes. If you lean back and she looks away, that's another sign that she's not fully in. You know, if you lean back and she starts putting something in between the two of you, like takes a drink and puts it in between her chest and your chest on the table. You know, another thing I do whenever I'm building rapport with someone is I'll physically clear a path from my chest to their chest. So if there's anything on the table or anything like a glass or anything like that, I move everything out of the way so there's a clear path between the two of us. Because whenever we are trying to protect ourselves, and we're another sign that we're lying, is when we put stuff in between us and someone else. It could be anything. It could be a pillow. It could be, you know, depending on your situation, it could be a drink. It could be a phone. It could be a hand, you know, a fist, anything. And oftentimes it'll be something where people will start to mess with their hands right about chest level, and that sort of helps them feel safer. So if you start to see any of these things, it means that she's not fully in yet, and you need to build more rapport. Don't try to go in for the kiss unless when you lean back, none of those things happen. If you lean back and they're all good, then you want to make sure that you go in next. Yep.
Could she be doing any of those things because she's nervous?
Yeah, well, she could, absolutely. But if she's nervous, you'll get a completely different kind of response. She'll look down instead of over. She'll fiddle with her fingers, but she won't put it in front of her chest. And whenever she leans back, she'll lean forward again, not knowing what to do, right? So she'll, like, model you very, very, very closely. So if she leans back and she stays there for a minute and you lean forward, then she leans forward again a little bit later on, then she's probably not nervous. But she probably has no reason to be nervous at this point because you're not sexual yet, right? If you're getting sexual, she's going to get nervous immediately, like, and that's what you want. You want her to be nervous. You want her to get, like, sort of like, oh my God, this is like, because when she gets turned on, it's the same exact nervous feeling as whenever, you know, she's scared of something or nervous about something. So you want that later on whenever you're getting sexual. But if you're in rapport, unless she's already thinking about something sexual, she probably won't be nervous. You know, if she is nervous, then she probably is getting scared that you're about to get sexual with her, which means you're probably already in seduction. You know, like, it could be a good thing, or it could mean that she has a boyfriend, she's getting too close to you, or all sorts of things. So you want to start sort of using this directed questioning of, like, you know, tell me about yourself. Like, you know, tell me about the last guy you dated. You know, what was he like? And how come you left him? You know, how come you guys broke up? Like, you can ask that question in rapport. You can ask that question anytime you want, really, especially if you're going to be polyamorous. But you can ask that question normally in rapport. And if she still has a boyfriend, you know, she'll say, oh, well, I kind of am sort of seeing somebody right now, right? And you'll be like, oh, okay, well, you know, tell me about him. And that's cool. We don't have to do anything. And, you know, you'll be single at some point and we'll hook up then. It's no big deal, you know. And then just talk to her and hang out with her and whatever and get her number, but don't text her a bunch because then you're gonna get the phone call. I've gotten that before.
I have too. Yeah. Leave my girlfriend alone.
Yep. Yeah, I've gotten that a couple times where it's like, hey, who is this? You know, I get a phone call from some dude. I'm like, Joshua, who's this? You know? And I end up, you know, he's like, you're going to talk to my girlfriend, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, look, man, she didn't tell me she had a boyfriend, so she may not like you. You know? I just want to let you know. If she does, then you might want to watch yourself because she gave me your number, you know? So, anyway, she's probably not going to be nervous is my point, in rapport. So she should feel completely comforted and understood and accepted, not nervous. She's nervous, that means she's either, like I said, already sexual or she's got some reason to not go into rapport, you know? Again, if we talk about the avatars, the explorer and the romantic both get a little bit nervous around rapport because unless they're in sort of a secluded environment where no one will ever find out because then they feel like they can have a fling and then leave, you know? Like on vacation, for example. The explorer and the romantic are fantastic on vacation because they don't have any insecurities, nothing. They don't have to worry about commitment. They just do whatever they want and then they leave afterwards and there's a sort of mutual understanding that this is going to go away afterwards. So it really depends. Is that sort of but does that answer your question, Brad? I know we made that long-winded there.
Absolutely.
Long-winded or to absolutely answer the question?
Both. No. I was. It was very clear on what I need to fix.
I think it's going to help boost your super connector powers as well, a whole lot.
Yeah.
So, when you start to get through that process, again, being a super connector, you still have to go in for the seductive during the seductive process, and that transition is by far the hardest part of the entire thing. So, it's the transition from deep rapport to seduction that most guys trip up on. And you should be able to knock it out of the park. Hopefully, I'll be able to give you some more tools in here in a little bit that help you automatically take her from that, you know, that interested, you know, connecting space of rapport and sort of bring her over to seduction. Cool?
Yep.
Cool. All right, I'm going to go ahead and mute you now. All right, so I have a couple more questions. One is about a mile long from Philip. So I'm going to it looks like it's a bunch of communications, like a text or something back and forth. But first I'm going to answer another question from someone else. I'm not sure who it is because I didn't put it down. But the question is, can positive emotions from having fun on a date replace rapport? This is a great question, actually. And the answer is no. They can't. Now, let me just sort of explain this for a minute. When someone experiences something with you, and it's a new experience especially, or a really intense experience, like, for example, skydiving, there's been a study that I've quoted often that I forgot who did this. I always forget who does studies, but I remember the results of the study. It took two groups of people. One group of people that they took randomly and selected them for for a date with someone else. And they did a really big selection, so they had this really good slice of people. And they went on the date, and it was a normal kind of sit down and have dinner or whatever date. And then they asked, okay, well, how attracted were you, blah, blah. So then they rated them. They had this, you know, this one rating, 1 through 10. And then they said, okay, cool, got that on the side. Then they had another group of people, a huge group, meet up for dates in a completely different environment. This time, instead of meeting at dinner, they all met on a rickety bridge, like a kind of a scary bridge that was really high up. And they stood and looked over the edge in the beginning of the date, and then they sort of hung out and had their date there. The people who experienced a sense of fear during the date were exponentially more attracted than the people who weren't, who didn't experience that fear. So this is a really interesting study. It means that if you experience a mutual emotion together, if the more intense the emotion, the more likely the attraction. But that is not rapport. So if you want to increase attraction, then you can have some kind of sort of like lighthearted, fun, exciting experience together where you're experiencing, you know, something fun together. But it will not translate over into rapport unless it's something that you talk about afterwards. So unless you're opening up or something as well. So like to say that you're doing something fun, and that fun thing is karaoke, right? Karaoke's pretty fun. And she's like, I've never sang in front of anyone ever before. Okay. She gets up, she sings, and you go, that was amazing, right? That was so fun. That was amazing. You're so good at singing. You should sing more often, okay? That is absolutely rapport. Absolutely. It's not lighthearted banter. But if she got up and sang and you came back and you're like, oh, you are right. You'll get better next time. And that was a banter line, you'd fuck it all up, you know? Because you didn't realize that she was in rapport. You know, she's kind of self-conscious about that. So yes and no. Yes, you can replace a lot of attraction with heightened emotional responses and like lots of fun activities. But you cannot replace rapport unless it's something that you are mutually experiencing that is not normal and sort of forces yourself to put herself out there, forces you to put yourself out there too. So it really depends on the activity. But for example, if she's a lead singer of a band and she goes up and she sings at karaoke and she comes back, are you going to be in rapport? No, you're not going to be in rapport. So it depends on what it is you're doing. If she experiences something where she's really vulnerable and then you accept her, yes, you've built rapport. So you can have a fun activity where she's not vulnerable, it won't build rapport. But if she is vulnerable and you're vulnerable too, then it will build powerful rapport, actually. Almost just as powerful as going through the entire rapport process of cycling through, you know, step 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, light, wide, deep, and release for the rapport process. It's almost as powerful as that. Now, the thing that's different about rapport process for the 4-step process that you actually talk through is that you can sustain that over time, meaning that it can be something that gives her a window into yourself when you're younger, and that allows her to sort of have a really deep understanding of who you are. Now, if you go up and you sing for a minute and she didn't know that you could sing and you don't normally sing, you're a little subconscious, but she reassures you that you're good, that just shows her who you are now. So it gives you sort of a window, but not as powerful necessarily But it still is a really good idea. I mean, having fun activities throughout the day is really awesome. Brad, will you do me a favor?
Sure.
Will you read this while I'm talking? Like, read it to yourself and then sort of summarize it?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, there's going to be like a 20-minute pause here while I read this question. And you can just scroll down as you go. And I'll go ahead. Let me just tap this here and see what the next topic is here. Okay. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ahead and go over, since we're already, it's already 6:45. I'm going to go ahead and go over the vet system. The vet system is something I talked about on one of Carlos Zuma's new products called Alpha Sexuality. And I did a guest spot teaching something called the vet system. And vet is V-E-T-T. And essentially what it is, it's a four different areas of your, of your interaction that will automatically take you from rapport to seduction. So if you don't shift over these four different things, then you will not go from rapport to seduction. So I want to sort of go over what those four things are, and then maybe by then Brad will be done reading this novel, and he can sort of tell us what's going on, and then we can we can continue. It looks like it's entertaining, though, because Brad keeps laughing. Let's go over the VET system first. The V-E-T-T system stands for four different things. The first one is vocal tonality. So that's the V. V is vocal tonality. And that essentially means that when you go through the process of building seduction instead of building rapport, you shift your vocal tonality to use your seduction voice. Actually, now, during this interview, I have been, for a while, have been using my seduction voice. So this is what it sounds like when I use my seduction voice. And this is what it sounds like when I use my banner voice. So my banner voice is a little bit higher pitched, a lot more enunciated, and my seduction voice is a lot deeper, and it has a lot more sort of a monotone response, a monotone sound to it. And I end every statement in a down note when I'm in my seduction voice, use my seduction voice. So whenever you're using your seduction voice during rapport, it automatically gets her feeling as if she can be sexually turned on in that moment. So that's the V. I'm going to go over in a bit about what that means and a little more about how to do it later on if we have time to do that. Let's go over the E. So the V is vocal tonality. The E in the VET system is eye contact. During the earlier stages of an interaction, especially during the lighthearted stage of attraction, you are allowed to sort of look around, and you want to make solid eye contact, but you're allowed to look in different directions. During rapport, you're allowed to look down, you're allowed to look up every once in a while because you're thinking of things. But during seduction, you lock eye contact, and you specifically hold this eye contact, and you do not break it, period. It's something that you keep constant all the time during seduction. You really want to make sure that you keep this in check, because a lot of guys will start to look away during seduction, and it's a sign of weakness, and women do not want someone who's weak in the bedroom. The seduction stuff is going to transfer directly over to the bedroom for women, so you want to make sure that you remember that. So that's eye contact. Again, I'll go into more of that in a bit. The first T in the VET system is touch. So as you go through the process of attracting a woman, you're going to be having different types of touch. By the time you get to seduction, you should be touching her constantly. There shouldn't be a moment where your hands are off of her in some kind of sense. Like, you should be holding her hand or touching her shoulder or have your hand around her waist or, you know, touching her face, you know, softly, or touching her legs or her thighs. This should be stuff that you are you're constantly touching during the stage of seduction. So if you don't shift that touch to be constant during that stage, then you will not be able to be physical with her. And then the final, before we get into this odyssey, is a topic of conversation. So you'll shift from sort of lighthearted or even deep and meaningful topics of conversation. You'll sort of drop an innuendo and talk about things that are a little bit more sexual in nature as far as like the topic of conversation goes. And this will sort of throw your hat over the fence ahead of time, so that by the time it comes for you to actually get sexual with her, she is already comfortable with you talking about sexuality.
Throw your hat over the fence?
Yeah. That you ever heard that phrase before?
Is that a colloquial phrase?
Is it a colloquial? I don't know. I've heard it before. Throwing your hat over the fence means committing. Like, it means I threw my hat over the fence.
Getting your foot in the door?
No, getting your foot in the door means that you...
Throw your hat in the ring.
Theory Hat in the Ring is very, very similar. Theory Hat Over the Fence, you never heard that before?
No.
You ever heard Throw Her Panties Over the Fence? That's not really one. So anyway, you'll basically commit to that. She'll have committed to that concept ahead of time. And so when you get sexual with her, it'll be an easy transition. Do you want to sort of summarize what you just read there?
Yeah. So Phil has a pretty good question here that I think a lot of guys wonder is basically it's about online dating and mm-hmm. how the map of interaction works with online dating.
Mm-hmm.
He has an interaction here, a specific interaction, and wanted to sort of, you know, he said, where am I in this process?
Okay.
And, you know, what is she asking for in this interaction? But I think, you know, just sort of general summary of how to go about the online dating situation might be useful.
Okay.
Here.
Okay, I'm a little bit confused at the end here because the last thing, I guess he transitions straight from something that she said into something that he's asking me. So it says,
yeah.
So tell me more about you, my sweet knight. Where am I on the Matrix?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if Phil, you're calling me a sweet knight right now. I'm definitely not your sweet knight. But you know, I get to know you a little bit better. Maybe I can learn how to be that sweet knight for you. But okay, so where are you in the map of interaction? Where is she? Okay, what is she seeking? So Brad, what did you pick up on this? I'm gonna try to read a little bit of it as you're doing this.
It was pretty blatantly sexual. The back and forth between, you know, Phil and this
and
woman online.
What? Is there? Does she have a name?
Sex Me Up would be her her God given name.
That's her Christian name.
Her Christian name.
Okay. So.
So it's just. It's, you know.
Okay. So it looks like here. Looks like you got sexual. Let me just see this. No, she got sexual. What are you wearing right now?
She got sexual first. And
you said, I have nothing on. How are you doing? tell me more about you, my sweet knight. What, this looks a little bit convoluted here. I can't really tell. Oh, yeah, that's the subject. Okay, I see. Okay, so this is a little bit hard to read.
She asked, what are you wearing right now?
She asked that, and he said...
he said, I have nothing on.
I have nothing on. How are you doing?
Haha, so.
So tell me more about you.
I guess she would have
said. My sweet knight. Okay, so anyway, it's a little bit confusing. But the way it looks right now is that first off, let me just tell you that you're not going to be building rapport over the internet already. I'll tell you that right now. So she's being sexual. You want to bring this back to banter online. You don't want to be getting too deep into, like, something that you can't consummate. Here's what women don't do. They don't get turned on by chatting with a guy online, show up and meet him and have sex with them. They don't do that. What they do is get excited by banter online and then show up after bantering and then have sex with a guy. So if you are online and you're chatting with a girl and you know, you're having a great time, if you are sort of joking around and bringing things light and sort of pushing her away a little bit, like, and by pushing away, I don't mean like saying... don't say that. That's stupid or anything like that. But I mean saying like, whoa, slow down there, cowgirl. There'll be plenty of time for that later on, you know? You know, what am I wearing right now? You want to say something that's not like nothing. I'm wearing nothing. That's not what she wants to hear. She wants to role play a little bit. She's having a good time. So instead, you want to say something like, you know, I'm wearing a fireman's outfit. You know, I'm wearing a fireman outfit and I just got back from saving a family running into a burning building. You know, like, just like let her role play with you a little bit. And keep it sort of lighthearted. Okay, so no, she called me that. Thanks, Phil. I appreciate that you you weren't calling me your agnostic name. You weren't calling me your sweet knight there, which is nice.
She sends a flirt.
Okay.
I have nothing. Okay, so she said that.
She said I have nothing on. Oh, okay, cool. So that's good to know. So she said I have nothing on. Okay, cool. That's good. That sort of clears that up a little bit. So. Here's what I would do. If she says, I have nothing on, too, that's kind of like a blatant, you know, that doesn't sound like something a girl would really say typically, you know? She's either, like, ready to go already and you're just wasting time and making her out of the mood, or this isn't really a chick. I know you don't want to think about that, obviously. So let's just assume she is a chick and that she's ready to go, because that's probably the better thing to think about here. I know he's going to respond back right now. Oh, my God. I saw her picture. No, she's definitely a chick. But it doesn't really matter. So
I have a disclaimer about that after you're done.
Okay. Okay. It's Brad's gonna admit that he's sexed me up on whatever the site is. So what you want to do here is keep it lighthearted and then meet up with her. You cannot have sex with her over the internet. So you have to get to the place where you can meet up with her, and you're not going to be thinking about how nerve-wracking it is to be talking to a woman who wants to meet up just to have sex in a public place, and all this pressure for you not to screw it up and everything. So instead, you want to be the one in control. Right now, she's the one leading this conversation. She's kind of like, pacing it, it seems, if I'm actually reading it correctly. It's kind of hard for me to see it. Okay. Oh, no. Oh, my God. I think you're right. I don't know what that was, too. Hopefully not a dude. 54 pictures of her. Okay, cool. That's good. So it's 54 pictures of this chick. So anyway, so basically your situation that you have going on here is that you are building all this sexual tension, but you're building it up to the point where normally the next stage would be to reach over, grab her hand, and take her to the bathroom and have sex with her, or reach over, start making out with her, that kind of stuff. But you're taking it right up to the edge, and there's nothing to do. Now you got to get logistical on her. Like, how are we going to meet up? What time do you want to meet up? It's all logical. So now she's going to break out of all this state, and she's going to be logical, and that's not going to be good for you. Instead, on the ramp-up process, you wanted to say, I can't do any more of this at all until we meet up. Like, let's meet up and have a drink tomorrow, blah, blah, right? And you want to bring all this stuff to a head while you're in person with her. No guy has ever had sex over the internet. It just has never happened. He's masturbated, but someone else has supposedly masturbated on the internet, but he's never been able to, have sex. You have to meet up with her. And so what you want to do is focus all this stuff to, instead of it being toward like escalation and really taking it as far as you possibly can, which you'd want to do in person, you want to say, instead, you want to turn all of it and spin it all toward meeting up with her in person. So, by the way, this looks like a lot. I mean, you're doing great. It sounds like you're having a great conversation and everything. So I wouldn't say anything bad about what you're doing. But you do want to make sure that whenever you do this, like I said, that you meet up in person as soon as possible. Okay. I guess you meant go ahead or get head by asking to meet up.
You said bring it to a head.
Okay, yes, exactly. Write that down. He said get head by meeting up. Got it. Okay. Cool. Brad, your disclaimer on this? This looks like you're going to say something embarrassing.
Well, no. I just want to make a disclaimer for everybody. I always thought that, on like IM clients and dating sites and stuff, I've thought that the porn site girls were robots.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I'll be able to recognize a robot.
Mm-hmm.
But I met somebody, this girl from Australia was in a hostel, and she said she worked for a company
mm-hmm.
that would employ people to actually be there to respond to messages
mm-hmm.
as these girls,
mm-hmm.
That were very sexual and at some point in the interaction would say, come, check out my webcam pics and send you to a porn site. And this company made tons of money because they were employing people basically minimum wage to like respond via chat as, these sexy girls. And they weren't robots, so
Okay, cool.
That's all
they talked about. Cool.
Okay. I always thought like I'd be able to recognize one of those robots because they wouldn't respond in a human way.
Right.
But there are people who employ real people to respond to these messages.
Right.
And I didn't know that. So just a disclaimer in the future, guys.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that when a girl gets sexual around you that that's the case or anything.
Right.
Especially if she doesn't know you and you're talking to her online. It's very likely that she does, that she is. And especially if she doesn't go for like the... I'm guessing that she's going to be like... talking to you for maybe 5-10 minutes and then say, hey, look, I gotta go because I have to do this webcam show. Maybe you should swing by and check it out.
Yeah.
So she'll probably do it pretty quickly. She won't be doing this over the course of like several days or anything like that, So keep that in mind. But let's see. Looks like you have pretty good banter, though. Let's see. Yeah, it looks pretty good.
He definitely isn't like... taking the bait,
Yeah. Yeah.
He's playing.
Yeah, you're doing okay. You're actually doing all right. I'm looking at this now, and actually I may retract that statement that she's leading the interaction. I don't think that... Maybe that's not even happening here. I think you may be doing it, but I think you're doing a good job of keeping yourself sort of distant and everything. But you need to sort of... She'll do this forever, dude. She'll keep doing this for 10 years with you because it's fun. But if you don't like try to meet up with her, then she'll keep on doing this, and you don't want that to happen. So, anyway, so that's that. I'm gonna go ahead and close that comment. Thanks for asking that question. Cool. It's what you wanted to know. I want to know what happens.
Yes. Keep us updated, Phil.
Yeah. Next week, I'm definitely curious if you can hop on and like let us know. You don't have to send pictures, but if you do, you'd send them to joshua@thedallasbadass.com. Actually, you don't want to do that. You don't want to send those pictures to brad@thedallasbadass.com. Yeah. My girlfriend would be so upset if I leave my computer open one day and there's like pictures of naked girls. I'd never be able to explain that to her. So send that to Brad.
I'm totally all right.
Brad will tell you, will tell me if they were good or not. Okay. I got a couple more questions. This is from Jonathan. It says, how do I know if I need more rapport or more sexual tension if I'm just moving too fast or if I'm just moving too fast or too slow? They're actually the same thing, Jonathan. So if you're moving too fast, that means that you need more rapport. If you're moving too slow, that means you need more sexual tension. Does that make sense? Answer me, Jonathan. So that's sort of how it is. If you are in rapport and you're sort of building that emotional connection and you're moving too slow, she's being sexual with you and she's touching you back. She's like actually reaching out and touching you first and initiating touch, and she's leaning in, she's looking at your mouth and showing you all the signs that she wants to get sexual and physical with you, and you're not taking those signs and moving forward with them, then you're moving too slow. And if you are jumping into sexual conversation and she's leaning back while you're doing it, you're moving too fast. So you have to sort of watch that body language that we talked about earlier, Jonathan, and sort of if she is... let's see here. don't send... I just got an email from Philip. Or a message from Philip. Do not send those pictures to me. Send them to Brad. but yeah, definitely get me, keep us updated. But yeah, anyway, Jonathan, so you want to watch those body language triggers. Is she leaning forward or is she leaning back? Is she holding eye contact whenever you do or is she looking away? Is she fiddling with stuff and putting it between you and her, or is she leaving it completely open and clear? If she ever picks up her phone and looks at it, that's a terrible, terrible sign in rapport. You don't want her to pick up her phone during rapport. If you get a phone call in rapport, it's actually, sometimes it's good to, and some people will tell you not to do this, but here's what I do. I'll actually take my phone out, put it on the table, so that when I do get a call, I can lean over, silence the call without looking at it, and put it to the side. Does that make sense? So like, we'll be in a deep conversation, the phone will be on the table, and it'll buzz or something if someone texts me or calls me or something. And without looking at the phone, I'll reach over, and without skipping a beat or like stopping to talk or anything, like hesitating or anything or nothing, I reach over, I silence the phone, and I take it off the table and put it in my pocket or put it somewhere else. And what that does is it sort of shows her where I am in my rapport state. It sort of allows her to feel like, okay, look, I can't be doing that either. If something comes up, someone calls me, I'm gonna be doing the same thing. She'll follow you right in. You'll lead her right into that. So, that's another thing that you want to keep in mind. You know, if she is doing any of those things, then and she's like backing up or she's fiddling with something, then you need more rapport. You need to slow down, build more rapport, and don't go sexual yet. If she's leaning in, if she's looking at you in the eyes and it's solid, especially if she's looking at you in the mouth, if she's, you know, and looking at your mouth, I mean, looking at you in the mouth, it's kind of strange, looking at your mouth while you're talking, if she is reciprocating touch in a way that she's like stroking your hand or your arm or something, these are all good signs if she's leaning toward you. Even if you lean away, these are all great signs for a green light to go into seduction. So, and of course, you want to make sure at that point you shift all four of the things in the vet system: vocal tonality, eye contact, touch, and topic of conversation to be all altered to the seduction side all at one time. If you can do them all at once, it'll be like a steamroller. She won't be able to stop that sort of wave of sexuality, which should be a song. The wave of sexuality,
kind of like the wave of
mutilation. It's better than wave of mutilation. It's a lot better than that because there's better stuff at the end. The Pixies. So anyway, let's go over. Let me just check out the the notes I had written down here. And, I wanted to talk about buying temperature. And that'll be the last thing I can talk about today on this call because we're about out of time now. So let's sort of go into that. So first thing I want to go over is how to skip almost every stage in the map of interaction and go straight to seduction. Now, there is one circumstance. There are two circumstances under which this can happen. Both of them have one thing at the core, but one is you have the eyes to see one or the eyes to see the other. It's kind of like if you can recognize both of them, then you'll be really, really awesome with women because of this. If I had to tell sort of the family secret here, and I'm using that term lightly, what I mean is the Dow family secret, is that 90% of being good with women, like really, really, really good, like mind-blowing and surprisingly good with women, is having the ability to see which women to go for. That's most of it. Now, guys will never tell you this. The guys who are really, really good with women will tell you that they have game and blah, 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 but that's not really the case, man. The truth is, most guys who are good because they know what to look for. They know which women that they can seduce quickly, they know which women that takes longer, and they change themselves based on these different women. So they'll look around the bar and they'll see somebody and they'll see like, they almost have almost like a radar for women who are already sexual but need to get laid, you know, and need that sexual validation. They're already in a sexual state and they need sexual validation. So how do you tell which girls are like this? That's a really big question, which I'm not going to tell you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to tell you. Of course I'm going to tell you. So how do you tell that these girls are sexually heightened and why do they get in that way in the first place? Well, the first thing you need to know is that there's a concept behind this sort of sexual heightened behavior, and that is called buying temperature. Anytime a woman gets sexually escalated or sexually heightened, especially in a public place, she'll have what's called a high buying temperature. And when her buying temperature gets boosted and gets sort of heightened, then she begins to decide to have sex, basically. She's like, I need to have sex because she's turned on. Now, what will typically happen is a guy will accidentally do this with a girl or do it and not know how to move forward. And then he'll leave. And whenever he leaves, whoever is there to swoop up this girl wins at the end of the day. So this is why when you're in seduction, you never want to go to the bathroom and leave the girl sitting at the table. Because when you get back, she'll be gone. Most likely, she'll be gone. Or she'll be in a completely different state, you know? Or some other guy will walk up and she'll give him her phone number immediately. And then in secret. And then you'll walk back and you'll have no idea. And she'll want to go leave. Because this guy's ready to go, you know, and you're not ready to go. So the sort of one of the most valuable skills I've learned is how to recognize that high buying temperature, that sort of hot level of hotness in a woman to tell when she's turned on and when she's not. Now, there are a few things that I've noticed over time, and it's really subtle to tell the difference. But what you want to do is trust your gut. When you get a weird, weird feeling that a woman is sexual, like she's like almost like slutty almost when you're looking at her, then I want you to deconstruct why you think you have that. If you see a few of these indicators, you'll know for sure that her buying temperature is high and that you can go in and start to be sexual pretty quickly. Again, I use this concept, not the first time I used it, but the first time I used it in front of anybody, actually, without anybody, with anyone else being there, or any other guys being there, and watching specifically, was whenever I saw a girl who just rejected one of my clients. I walked up, and we made out in about 20 seconds or something. It was really, really, really fast, and I just said one specific thing, and I went straight to seduction. And but the reason why it worked is because I recognized she had a high buying temperature. And that's why he went in with sort of lighthearted banter, and he got rejected because he walked in and he used the wrong tools on that for that job, so to speak. He was trying to hammer a nail with a screwdriver, and it just doesn't work like that. You have to use your sort of different set of tools for that process. So what I was looking for and what I saw sort of go over now. Whenever I walk in and I see someone like this. Now I steer clear of them because it's really scary to start interacting with them in the first place. But whenever, especially when I was single, I would look at these and then I would formulate a plan in order to get over there in the first place and then have sort of create an instant us bubble. And then by using a couple concepts that I had and then get her in a naughty state and then make out with her immediately. So what I was looking for is, I'd look for a couple of things. First thing I'd look for is that she's not having a conversation pretty much with anybody. She's almost never having a conversation. She's usually sitting by herself, looking down, and usually not looking sad, that's not what I mean, but actually physically looking down, like looking down a little bit, then looking up and looking for people's eyes. She's trying to make eye contact with people, and she's looking down in between that. So what she's doing right now is she's giving off a very clear signal that she needs to be approached. Now, when you walk up there, depending on how you approach her, she may reject you still. Because just because she wants to be approached doesn't mean that she's going to make it easy for you. You know, she has to filter somewhat, otherwise she'll sleep with anybody who walks up to her. So instead of just like what most women do, which is distract themselves by like talking to someone else and having another conversation or like listening to someone talk or dancing or things like that, instead of doing that, she's going to be mostly alone. If she's someone around her, usually there's a guy talking to her because there's a guy trying to hit on her, you know, and mostly what will happen is a guy will walk up, start hitting on her, and he won't do it right, and she'll still be sexual, but she'll be looking around for someone to save her, you know, and this is usually the way it looks. So she's either sitting by herself, kind of like looking up, trying to make eye contact, and looking down often to show submission, or she's having a conversation with a guy. She's not really into the guy. She's kind of giving him negative body language, but he keeps trying to chase her and stuff, and he's trying to sort of go after her. When you see the second scenario where there's a guy talking to a chick and he's chasing her body language, 99% of the time, this is a much easier situation because no guy walks up and does what I'm about to tell you to do. And when you do this, it's really powerful. So what I want you to do, when you see this guy, you see her kind of like, you know, crossing her legs, sitting up straight, like, you know, body language is completely erect. Her eyes are looking down often. She's kind of playing with something on her neck or her hair, or she's playing with her hands a little bit, but not in front of her chest. She is sort of stroking her drink up and down with her fingers. This is kind of a really obvious sign of sexual frustration or sexual activity. Or she's taking her finger and rubbing around the outside of the rim of her glass while she's talking, but she's not facing the guy. What you want to do is walk up and pretend like you're dating her. This is, okay, there are a couple ways of doing this. One is to walk up and go, there you are, I've been looking for you everywhere. Who's your friend? You know, oh, hey, nice to meet you, man. And then block him out and start talking to her. And she'll go, and when you talk to her, you just go, hey, I saw you over here. You look like you needed saving, so I came over here to save you, you know? And then that's it. You just want to talk to her for a minute and like keep it under your breath, and she'll go, thank God, you know, that you came over. So that's one way to do it. The other way to do it is to walk up and just start talking to the both of them and be like, hey, guys, I'm just kind of wondering, I was watching you two talk, and you're both like good-looking people, you know, or whatever. How long have you two known each other? You know, and as soon as if he starts talking and like bowing up on your face and stuff, then you don't want to do what I'm about to tell you. If she's talking and she's leading the interaction and he kind of like quiets down a little bit, then you want to basically start pulling her away from him by turning in a spot where she can't face the both of you at the same time. You know, and she's going to turn and face you instead of him because you're going to have better body language. Whenever you start to sort of fight with guys, compete with guys for women, there are a lot of little games that you have to play in order to get these guys away from the girl you want to talk to. Because really hot girls, especially girls that are like, you know, in the mood to have sex almost immediately, they're going to have, it's like they put out a pheromone and dudes just like, you know, they like follow them, chase them around and want them, and they're like swarming all over the place. So you have to be able to get in through this swarm of guys and get past all that crap. So that's one way to do it. So you can come in, you can start talking to her immediately and act like you know her automatically, or you can come in and you can start a conversation. You can banter, you know. Usually you want to go, you want to use sort of banter that's not directly just at the girl, otherwise you'll turn the dude into an enemy immediately. You're going to turn into an enemy later on anyway, because he's going to watch you walk up to a girl he's been talking to forever, and within 5 minutes she's going to be positively responding to you and like talking to you and like holding your hand and shit and like laughing and kissing you and stuff. So it's going to be, you're going to piss this guy off, period. You can't be afraid of that, you know. If he's not dating her exclusively, then she's just as much your girl as she is his girl, which means she's not his girl, you know. You deserve her just as much as he deserves her. In fact, you deserve her more because you know what you're doing better, and he's just going to ruin it, you know. He's going to try to get her drunk enough to where, you know, he can get laid and take advantage of her. You actually have good intentions, and you know what you're doing, so she'd much rather hook up with you than this guy. Almost always. So you can't feel bad about going in and sort of taking this girl away from this guy. So you're going to look for eyes. So if she's looking down a lot, if she is, again, playing with her hair a little bit when no one's talking to her, this is important. Well, especially if she's playing with the back of her hair, not the front of her hair. If she's playing with the back of her hair, that's an absolute sign of sexuality. She's playing with the front of her hair, it could mean she's bored. That's completely different. So a lot of guys get this mixed up. When you play, when a girl plays with the back of her hair, she's actually stimulating the source, the root of her hair, and that spot in the back of her head is a spot that, if you grab, is a submissive hold for a woman. So it draws out submission in a woman. It's a very dominant thing to do to her. Like if you're having sex with a girl and you grab the back of her hair and you pull it a little bit while you're having sex with her, she'll automatically show submission whenever you do that. So if she's playing with the back of her hair, she's simulating that sexual submission right in front of you. You know, she wants to feel that and no one's giving it to her, so she has to do it. Again, if she's like stroking a glass up and down, that's another obvious tell, and obvious body language that she's sexually turned on in that moment. So if you see a few of these things where she's sitting at the bar by herself, she's looking down often, and no one's approaching her or talking to her. A lot of guys would say, don't go talk to this girl. Actually, a lot of pickup artist guys would say, wait, you know, talk to a girl who's in a group of two. But I don't think you should do that. I just think it's a different game when you walk to a girl when she's alone. In fact, I know that it's a different game. And oftentimes, you're going to be creating an instant, what's called an us bubble. So the way you want to go about doing this is you walk up, and you want to automatically create this role play where it's the two of you versus the rest of the world, right? It could be, man, there's a lot of weirdos in this room. You know, it's cool to be hanging out with you. You can save me if someone comes to try to talk to me. I've had like 15 crazy girls come up and try to talk to me already. Like that statement, right? And she'll go, okay, you know, if anyone comes up here and tries to hit on me, will you pretend like you're my girlfriend for a minute so they leave me alone? Because I haven't been able to have a drink since I've been here because the girls have been screwing with me all day, you know? That kind of stuff. Or for example, if you want to go straight in for it, you want to tell her a secret, you know, have her lean into you and whisper something in her ear. Even if it's like, what are you drinking? That's fine. You know, as long as you use your seductive voice and you speak slowly and she feels your breath on her neck as you're talking, you want her to lean in a lot for this. So you can skip a lot of stages if you do this. Again, you're going to be switching immediately from sort of that lighthearted, walking up phase directly to seduction. You're going to change your vocal tonality. Your eye contact is going to be solid. You're going to be touching her as you're doing this, but you don't want to touch too fast because you need to escalate this a little bit slower. As soon as you deliver something vocal around her where you're speaking toward her neck, sort of, you know, really close to her ear with your seduction voice, you can then start to escalate touch. And you can, when I say start to, I mean in the next 10 seconds, you need to start to escalate touch. And you can sort of get her to lean in. And she's already leaning in toward you. Her body language is facing you. You're whispering in her ear. You're touching her hand. If she doesn't want you to touch her, she'll pull her hand away. You don't want her to have to push your hand off. You'd rather that she pulls her hand away a little bit because it's a lot easier for her to do. So we go for her hands first and just touch her hand slowly if she's in this situation. Then you want to, switch the, you know, have the topic of conversation be really powerful. Have it something that's like, actually, it can be something as stupid as what are you drinking first, and then you can go on to say, because I want to know if I should be, why do I want to know what drink I should be jealous of, you know, because it's touching your lips, you know, that kind of thing. By the way, I just made that up. It's good to be able to make this stuff up on the spot, by the way. And I have a stuff that I teach in the rapport, advanced rapport and seduction courses where I teach how to actually make up stuff like this on the spot using situational things around you. Because it's actually threading. It's taking something and then threading a new topic out of it, and you're just doing it with a sexual layer over it. We may be able to go over that a little bit in the next call, but ultimately, that's sort of how you skip those steps. That's how you get past that that rapport phase, and you go straight into seduction. Now, when you start kissing her, making out with her, you can immediately triangulate. You know, you can do all that stuff immediately. You can start making out with her. You can even take her and have sex with her somewhere right then. It's relatively simple to do that. But later on, meaning the next day or later on that night, probably not that night, later on the next day, preferably, you're going to have to go back and build rapport. And it's going to be very difficult to do because she's going to have all these associations with what just happened. She's going to feel slutty. She's going to feel wrong. She's going to have all these weird things around her. And if you do it right, the next day you'll build rapport. Everything will be okay. You'll like go out to eat breakfast in a social environment where you can meet up with other people and you can introduce you to other people and everything, and it'll all be okay. So, yeah. That's how you skip steps. A lot of guys ask me that question, and you can probably understand why I don't teach it to a lot of guys. But since you guys are you're my founding member boys, then I don't mind doing that at all, and sort of teaching you that sort of advanced concept. So that's us. We're pretty much out of time now. If you guys have any questions right now, you can feel free to just send me a quick note right now. It just says wait, and then click submit. If you do that by the time I finish the end of this statement here, then I will stay. Otherwise, I'm going to go ahead and have to wait till the next call to do that. The next call will be next week on Thursday, and it'll be at the same time. So I'll go ahead and schedule that in the calendar right now. My computer's chirping at me. So it'll be the 27th. It'll be right before Halloween, so keep that in mind. Should be pretty fun. I am considering going. I'm not sure if I'm going to go yet, but I'm considering going to the Playboy Mansion Halloween party. If anyone wants to go to that with me, please email Brad at thedowofbadass.com and he'll let you know how to get in, because it's a closed invite. Most people aren't allowed in. So if you do want to go and you're in the LA area and you do want to go and you have some money to show up and hang out, then go ahead and email Brad at thedowofbadass, and it should be pretty fun. I'm going to, if I do go, hopefully I'll have a table with a bottle, and I'll be able to hang out and drink and have a good time with everybody. So, yeah, definitely let Brad know, brad@thedowofbadass.com. If you're not going to do that, I still would love to see a thread in the members area about Halloween and what everyone's doing, so guys can sort of come up with things to talk about and things to wear and different costumes and stuff, and what to do. And I'll comment on there too and everything, and we'll get some good threads going. But either way, thank you guys so much for being part of this call, and I look forward to talking to you next week, next Thursday at the same time at 6 p.m. Pacific. And until then, happy seducing.
See you guys.